Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Wow. Wasn't that wonderful worship? Woo! Give the worship team a big clap, will you? Thank you, Michael and the team. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. And in fact, let's stand.
Yep.
Raise your hand. I want you to shout it out. I believe in God. The Father Almighty. Maker of heaven and earth. And in Jesus Christ. His only Son. Our Lord. Who was conceived of the Holy Spirit. Born of the Virgin Mary. Suffered under Pontius Pilate. Was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. Sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From whence he shall come. To judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Church Universal, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting. I believe in Jesus. I believe in his resurrection. Therefore, I believe in signs, wonders, miracles. Breakthrough. I declare a sign, a wonder, a miracle, and a breakthrough for myself, for my family, for my neighbor. Now turn to your neighbor, say breakthrough.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Amen. Glory. Breakthrough. Say breakthrough. Amen. Yeah, give the Lord a big clap. Now, there was a you may be seated. There was a particular purpose. We don't need a reason. For blowing the shofar. It's fun to blow the shofar and demons tremble. No, given notice, your time is up. You go to leave. You go to leave this person you are oppressing. Or you go to leave this territory. And sometimes these terrorists, there's a reason why I often aggressively say, let's make the Apostles' Creed and declare it. If you notice, whenever these Islamic radical terrorists come and then they do their evil deed, they will make a declaration. They will say, and I don't want to say it in their language, but they will say, and then our news leaders say, oh, and he said God is greatest. Well, that God is great. It does not mean that, the exact translation. I was brought up around those situations. And what it means is our God, the God Allah, is greater than any of your gods and is greater than your God, Jesus Christ. Okay, that's what it means. It is taking territory. So often, whenever they build their mosque and all that, that's one of the first things they do is five times a day, they will be declaring that God is greatest. Overcharging the atmosphere. That's why it is important for us to take and maintain spiritual territory mm-hmm. and spiritual atmospheres. Mm-hmm. So over your house, you say, yep. Jesus is Lord. Mm-hmm. Where the church is concerned, Jesus is Lord. Mm-hmm. Where the United States of America is concerned, in every Jesus. 50, all the 50 yes. states, Jesus yes. Christ is Lord. And in many of the state constitutions, you'll find our founders had wisdom to make in the Constitution, declare Jesus Christ Lord over that state. I mean, that's it. You'll yes. find that they yeah. recognize God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But there is a fun fact I was going to share with you that in some ways a lot of us in America may not know about this. So, do you know that what this weekend is a very awesome and prophetic anniversary, 100-year anniversary? Who can tell me what the 100-year anniversary is? It's a significant one. And it is, what? I think you got it, if I can hear it right. It is the Balfour Declaration.
The Come on, give a hand. Give a hand. Give a hand. Awesome.
I got to buy you a candy bar or something. It was the Balfour Declaration. And because we so often, every week, pray for the peace of Jerusalem and bless Israel, the Balfour Declaration was 100 years ago this weekend. They, near the end of the First World War, when the Islamic Ottoman Empire ruled over all the Middle East and had major influence and owned, had possession of Jerusalem, they were defeated. And the Ottoman Empire, especially the Turks over the Jerusalem rule, had to surrender. So, during that time, during the First World War, if you may remember, the British Empire was the most powerful. America was emerging, but the British was the strongest empire. And they had been helped tremendously, financially. They were almost bankrupt. And it was the Jewish organizations and the some of the Jewish businessmen over the British Empire that helped them rescue the financially the British government. And so they will say, well, we'll at the end, near the, you know, while they were doing it, so we will remember you. So at the end, near the end, then Lord Balfour sent a letter to the Jewish organization officially saying, the Jewish people will, we promise, will get a homeland. And it was the first time in history that a major nation and empire declared, we will support the return of the Jews to their land. And so this weekend, Benjamin Netanyahu was there in Great Britain and honoring the culmination of the Balfour Declaration. So that is an important fact as we then, as we see 100 years later, Israel strong and restored. It is, I was, we used to preach a lot in that. And we were, this church has been influenced, our ministry has been influenced by Brother Derek Prince, who lived many years in Israel and Jerusalem, was very precious to him. But above all, the Word of God had promised. It said, he had said, this is one of the fascinating scriptures, Ezekiel 37. By the way, Bonnie and I had a lot of, a big part, we helped, one of the key parts in raising up millions of dollars to help with other people for the restoration of the Jewish exodus in the late 80s from the Soviet Union. They would not let any Jews pretty much immigrate to Israel for many decades. And then we were able to finance. When they were allowed to go, the Jews were able to come home, but we had, this ministry had a key part in helping finance those Jewish people being able to immigrate But among some of the scriptures that inspired us and Brother Derek in his teachings, so it says in Ezekiel 37, so I prophesied as it commanded, and breath entered them, the dead bones. Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Oh, my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I'll bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. This is immediately after the Holocaust then. God spoke his word. It came to pass that even those who had gone through the Holocaust were able to, the descendants, the remnants of Israel, was able to come home. So it's a deeply moving anniversary. The other thing I remember, and it'll be a fun fact for some of you who love history of battles, that you can look up the Battle of Beersheba in 1917, where the Ottomans were the part of the main concentration of the Ottoman army, had made a big defense outside of Beersheba in the Holy Land. And the key, one of the last great cavalry charges in history, was made at the Battle of Beersheba when the Australian Light Horse Brigade, they rushed the defenses of the Ottoman Empire, but just plainly, they had their horses. A lot of these Australians had brought their horses with them. They were friends when they raised these little, their horses up, they brought them to the Holy Land. And then those horses, they got on the horses, the Australian. It's called the Australian Light Horse Brigade. And simply took their bayonets. They didn't have swords. And they said, rifles won't do any good. We have to charge. So they took their bayonets and charged towards the Ottoman Empire army and faced the machine guns and big cannons and just rode on those horses. And those horses were some of the bravest horses, and they overcame the Ottoman Empire just by the bayonets and the charging. And in the late 80s, I was in Jerusalem among doing the miracle services, and there were about a group of 30, some of the most handsomest, if I can say it that way, ladies I've ever seen. And they were they were dressed in the outfits of the Australian Light Horse Brigade. They were the granddaughters of men who were part of the Light Horse Charge that basically, I would say, helped free Jerusalem. And so I got to greet them. They came to my healing service. Anyway, I was just excited about the anniversary. So, oh, yes. And
I know I looked distracted, but I was really tracking with you. This is a picture of a massive banner that I made for those marches that we would do, and it's of Derek and Mahesh marching in Jerusalem with this massive banner. It was 12 by 18 feet. And in Hebrew it says, across the top, let my people go. And prior to the release and the allowance of the Jewish people to come out of Russia. They had not been allowed to leave Russia and make Aliyah back to Jerusalem. And I actually made that banner when I was 9 months pregnant with Sarah Chavda.
And we had to literally pray that Sarah would wait 2 more weeks so that her mama could finish that banner.
And then the State of Israel on El Al flew the banner.
When she was born, Dr. Singh, our pediatrician, obstetrician, when she came, he said, this baby has been waiting 2 weeks to come out. I mean, he could.
Yeah, she looked like she'd had a manicure. She had very long fingernails and, whatever.
But she waited.
She waited for two
so
weeks.
So she blessed Israel. And ABC News covered this.
Yeah, Associated Press.
And talked about it all over the world.
It was used in Jerusalem for the Jerusalem March a number of times. It was used for a human rights campaign march at the Western Wall. And then the State of Israel actually flew it from our church over to Israel for this march that Derek and Mahesh carried it in. And then they actually flew it back to New York within that year or the next year for a demonstration at the United Nations. And so it was a surprise to us the day that the Associated Press had a big picture of our banner at the UN saying, "Let my people go." So.
And one of the miracles I remember was I had to roll that giant, it was a 18 by 12, and we had to find a container that we could roll it up, and it was like a giant cannon.
Yeah, if you can imagine, the only thing that we could find was a PVC pipe that was that big. Can you imagine how heavy that was? And we were, and thank you, State of Israel, with all their security and stuff, they actually took that package because of what it was. Mm-hmm. And
the LL
to Jerusalem and
made special arrangements for me to take it with me in their cargo bay. A giant, it looked like a giant cannon.
Did you get it, Heather? Yes? No?
Anyway, as we are waiting for that.
Oh, there it is.
There.
And
yes.
You can't see it. Obviously, it was so big, we didn't have poles that were actually big enough to make it stand completely up. So there's kind of a fold in the middle, but it's a picture of.
It says, "Let my people go."
Yeah, it says, "Let my people go."
In Hebrew.
From, obviously, it's the Russian flag, and it was an indication of the various stratas of Jewish citizenry, including the refuseniks, who were actually in the Gulag in prison at that time, many of them. Of course, it was illegal to speak or teach Hebrew. And we had the privilege of going. Mahesh went into Soviet communist Russia during this period, and he was taken to see a very special rabbi that was a leader among some of the Orthodox and Hasids, a little guy named Rabbi Gershon, who is actually the rabbi for Natan Sharansky's wife, very, very famous Russian physicist who was in prison at that time. And his wife had become very religious, had really turned to the Lord as a result of that. And Mahesh was taken to meet that rabbi. And because their apartment was bugged and they were followed and all that kind of stuff, they went for a walk in a very famous Russian park, where a lot of the CIA kind of people hang out,
KGB.
And KGB, and they went for a walk, and the Rabbi Gershon kept insisting, he kept saying to Mahesh, "You must be Jewish, you must be Jewish." And Mahesh said, "Nope, I'm not Jewish, I'm a Christian, but I have a word for you." And he prophesied to them that the Lord was going to deliver them within a year. They were very worried because their son was coming to the age of military, being taken into the military, and as was the scenario then, the Jewish young men never came home. So there were a number of things. This particular rabbi had been imprisoned and had been tortured. His rib cage had been broken, and he had an ongoing pain from that he carried all the time. And Mahesh just prophesied that the Lord was going to do what he did for Israel coming out of Egypt, that Gershon and his family, including his son, would all come to Israel within that year. And he put his hand towards the rabbi, and the pain instantly disappeared.
And he was slain in the spirit
right
there in the park.
He was slain in the spirit right there in the park. And then, sure enough, the next year when we went to Jerusalem, as we were coming in to minister at the Feast of Tabernacles, in the airport, the particular community that this rabbi was a part of had a little booth, which they always did their evangelism kind of in the airport, and their paper was a big headline with a picture of Rabbi Gershon and his family. They had just come to Israel. So let my people go. I mean, you know, God is doing a great thing. The Lord said that that sign of bringing the Jewish people back to the land in our prophetic scripture, that it would be one of the major signs of the close of the age, and the generation that would see that sign should look up because the redemption is drawing nigh. So we are a very privileged generation. God's great plans are literally being worked out in our day in front of our very eyes. So I feel like Anna and Simeon, you know, they prayed and fasted for years in the temple, and then the day that Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to dedicate, they said, we're seeing it with our eyes. This is what we've waited for.
And so one of the things is when God gives you a prophetic unction, this is a prophetic community, and know that there is a stream from way back flowing through this community of signs and wonders and amazing prophetic fulfillment. And Rabbi Gershon, one of the words, I told him, by this time next year, God will bring you out of captivity into the promised land. And he said, he started weeping, and he said, well, maybe for my community, but not for me, because I am a mathematician and I worked on the Soviet rocket systems. So they would never let me go. Well, guess what? Let my people go. Well,
amen.
He was. The next year, he was out there in Jerusalem. So God fulfills his word. It's so, so awesome. Give the Lord a big clap. Yes, Lord. By the way, we'll be next week. We are doing the World Full Gospel Businessmen's Convention in Belgium. So there will be a lot of, around Brussels, a lot of leaders from all over Europe, North Africa, and then other countries like India and other places, and Congo, that they will be coming. So pray for us there. And then we fly to Switzerland. And then we go on to Liechtenstein, Germany. So it'll be a wonderful journey, and it's an outreach of this ministry, missions and preparing leaders, especially leaders and commissioning them to do in the present world, be able to lead their communities in spiritual warfare, and then really proclaim the revival glory over their nations. And, of course, Heather will be going with us, so we are grateful. We're going as an apostolic team, and it'll be fun. And in the meantime, while we're gone, we're fortunate that 2 weeks from today, we will have 2 Sundays from now. One of our favorite pastor friends in Germany, who is a significant leader in the glory move and the supernatural restoration and revival in Germany, in Tübingen, Germany, Pastor Jobst and his wife Charlotte Bittner and Diane and Klaus.
Diana, you can clap. You can clap. That's Diana. Yeah, yeah. That's Diana's pastors from Germany. Yeah.
Yeah, they will be here.
They will be here. They will be here ministering. Bring your friends. Bring your friends and family. Jobst and Charlotte have been engaged for the last 20 years doing something very unique that has grown into an international movement that will culminate in a particular March for Life in Jerusalem next year. And they, together with their community and then growing communities across Europe and then into the United States, but across Europe, they have been rewalking all of the pathways, the roadways, through the cities and villages in Europe where the death marches of the Jews took place during the Holocaust. And they've just faithfully, patiently done this as a sign of repentance and reconciliation and prayer to the Lord for blessing and a return of grace to Germany and to Europe, so on and so forth. And it has begun to work to a scenario that is so amazing. In the last few years, a few of the remnant of remaining Holocaust survivors that have immigrated to Israel that said, we will never return to Germany because of the horror done there. They actually, the Israeli tour guides actually take tours of these folks back to Germany through this gate of healing and reconciliation that Jobst and Charlotte have established in the March for Life. So it's a very unique and very powerful, and also an apostolic thread that we share very much. So make sure that you are here to hear Jobst minister. They're amazing, amen. Amazing people.
Amen. I want to turn to 2 Chronicles 5:13. Let's spend a few moments on something that I felt like is important to the Lord and for us to take opportunity. Yeah, 2 Chronicles 5:13 says, and the trumpeters, verse 13, the trumpeters and musicians joined in unison to give praise and thanks to the Lord, accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments. The singers raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, He is good, His love endures forever. Then the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, and then you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And as they were in one place, in one accord, Acts chapter 2, there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to start praising God in unknown languages, in the heavenly language. Say filled.
Filled.
So the temple was filled.
Hallelujah.
The people
yes.
were filled with the presence, with the Spirit of God. Tell your neighbor, you're going to be filled. Even more. So this is a time for us to prepare for even greater empowering.
Amen.
Greater commissioning.
Amen.
This is a prophetic rendezvous with
Amen.
The Spirit of God for us all, that God wants to do above and beyond all that you have hoped or desired to give you breakthrough. It's a thing that we get into where we invariably, it's a habit that humans can get, where we invariably limit. We get inward and start limiting ourselves, limiting God. And we want to take the limits off of God. Nothing is impossible. I want to declare over you, over your finances, over your business, over your children, over their jobs, nothing is impossible with my God. And so we're going to take the limits that we have put over ourselves, limits we have put on the church, limits we have put even on our nation. Just think that in the last few months, God suddenly has re-energized our economy, that right now we are the lowest unemployment
Thank
in 17
you, Lord.
Years.
Thank
and it
you,
was
over, Lord.
Overnight changing. The stock market has exploded and has
yes,
never
thank you,
raised
Lord.
This kind of fast development. Jobs are coming back to the United States of America, where, I mean, it is the lowest. Thank you, Lord. Say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
So God is up to something. He's taking the limits off of us as a nation,
Hallelujah.
As a people. We want to tell the Lord, Father, we are taking
Thank
the limits
you,
off of the church
Thank
of Jesus Christ.
Lord.
That
Thank
we are going
you,
to evangelize
Lord.
Every city
Hallelujah.
Once again.
Cool,
every
Rabba
state
Shondekia.
Will be flowing with the songs of praise
Hallelujah.
And thanksgiving. Tell your neighbor, I'm taking the limits off.
I am taking the limits off, and I feel like preaching.
Amen.
Yes, I feel like preaching. You know, Apostle Barbara Yoder was here last Sunday, and she talked to us about the breaker anointing. Say breakthrough. And I just want to affirm and declare and proclaim and come into agreement with the reality that that is upon us. And there are many signs. There are many signs. Pastor Mahesh and I are weeding out 40 years of archives right now. And I'm going to tell you something. In our lifetime, the thing that I have found is that the church, unfortunately, has been prophesying doom and gloom to itself and to the world for the last, 100 years. And we came across the big everything's going to crash in 1988. Oops, it didn't. Oh, everything's going to crash in 2000.
Y2K.
Y2K. Everybody bought the food and got the guns.
She showed me the booklet.
Big packages. All the major ministries were selling this stuff. Oops, didn't happen.
Thank God.
Harbinger, it's coming, judgment. Stock market's going to crash. Oops, didn't happen. I'm starting to get the picture. Fool me once, fool me twice. Saints, God has determined to finish what he started when Jesus said on the cross, it is, principalities and powers, governments of the earth, it is finished. Now I will take my place and begin to reign. Tell your neighbor, he has begun to reign. There's a new sheriff in town. Hey, come on. Come on. And I pray today that the Lord will recalibrate our prophetic spirit, not to be connecting with the psychobabble, but to be connecting with the glory that is coming from the throne where the Son of Man has taken up his rule and begun to reign. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor. Neighbor.
Neighbor.
There's a new sheriff in town. And if I can just put in a little plug for this. I want to commend all of you, and say, come on, roll, Breaker Tide, roll. I think you Bama fans, I think they rolled over the enemy last night. Woo! Early voting, friends, guess what? Last year, early voting in our region was 18,000. This year, 36,000. That's a double. That's a double already. That is a double already. That is just one of the many other little indicators that there's a new sheriff in town. And God is determined to finish the work of restoration and salvation and redemption that he began in Jesus Christ, in his own body, when he said, it is finished. So let your hearts and your spirits be lifted up today in full faith and expectation. The Bible says those who hope in the Lord will not be disappointed. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Say roll.
Roll.
Breaker.
Breaker.
Roll. Roll. Come on, roll. Roll, breaker, roll. Roll, breaker, roll. Roll, breaker, roll. Hallelujah. David said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like the breaking through of water. Hallelujah. Breakthrough. 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 Breakthrough.
So in this context, then, one of the scenarios I feel God wants us to get ready and get ready for great breakthroughs, signs, wonders, and the major way, and it, I love to see, watch the calendar work, what God is saying to us. And I want us to prepare for these coming breakthroughs with setting up an atmosphere
Amen.
Around our house for what God's going to do with Thanksgiving as the major criteria as we look with for Thanksgiving to come. How many of you are looking forward to Thanksgiving?
I am.
All right. Hallelujah. How many of you have a calendar where 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, you make a list of things you got to do? And then you make, maybe freeze, how many of you freeze a casserole or two about a week or two before Thanksgiving. Does anybody do that? Yeah?
We still have some traditional cooks in the house.
Amen. Praise
All the rest
God.
Of us go to Publix and buy the Thanksgiving dinner. Oops.
And then we buy a frozen turkey. And then 2 days before, you thaw. How many of you put it in the refrigerator to thaw it out? Do you?
Yep.
How many?
Brining. Briner turkey. Yeah. Brining makes all the difference.
And then the day before, you put in the frozen casseroles out in the refrigerator so it starts thawing out. And also the turkey is thawing out for 2 days before, and then it's ready. See, I mean, you are preparing, right? We are preparing for Thanksgiving. Well, first in the natural, then in the spiritual. Spiritually, God says, prepare for Thanksgiving so I can fill your house with glory. I can fill you with glory as we praise and give thanks. Say, give thanks.
Give thanks.
As we start thanking the Lord,
Amen.
You are
Lord
setting
Jesus.
Up a scenario
Hallelujah.
For the infilling to come,
God
for the power to be just give you the breakthrough. In that, then I just want to say, the spirit of this age is such that, where is my scripture? I always think of.
He has 16 Bible apps right there. So he has to remember which version of which app he put that scripture on. That's why he does this sometimes when he's
preaching. Yes, I am. I have it. I had it. Anyway, I'll come to it. That it's in, well, I can go to it right now. Why not? If I can find it. It's talking about in the, what's the scripture? 2 Corinthians, that
I know
in the last days.
I went blank.
In the last
perilous
days,
times will come.
Perilous times
Which
will
one
come.
Is it?
Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure, and ungrateful, unthankful.
Boy.
Yes.
That's weird.
I just got in the wrong. It is first. That's right. See? Thank you. I was.
Is that three?
Yeah.
Actually, you don't have to feel so bad about that because there are three or four times in the New Testament where Paul and Peter both say, it's written somewhere. So it is written somewhere in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will become lovers of themselves. And then it gives the litany.
2 Timothy 3:1.
I don't see it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It was 2 Timothy. Sorry. And for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. That's the word I was looking for, that in the last days, the atmosphere will descend over us, that if we are not watchful over each other's and are in the Word of God and be with each other, watching and helping each other, that automatically there is a spirit of this age that'll try to come and adjust you to that spirit, which is then you will see that this is the Word of God, that people become ungrateful, for example, that unthankful. When you are blessed, you're blessed, you're blessed, and yet people remain ungrateful. It happens. And there is a corruption in the age. So the opposite of thankful. Say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
But the opposite, there are some opposites. The opposite of being thankful is, in the Bible, it's grumbling, murmuring, complaining. We would say complaining, whining. Being thankful is very active. It's an active force. Being mumbling and grumbling, murmuring is very a passive thing that deactivates things around you and shrivels your spirit, and shrivels the spirit of a family, or can even shrivel and deaden a church, or even more so in the nation, where when people become a bunch of whiners and complainers, when God cannot bless that, and you find that again and again. I'm going to go a little faster, but you'll find that in Exodus 15, where God has just brought the children of Israel out with great signs and miracles, and I mean the greatest deliverances, and yet right in the middle of it, and they started complaining. The smallest little burp, and that you'll find they start murmuring. Exodus 16, verses 2 and 4 also, you'll find they start complaining. 1 Corinthians 10, therefore, tells us that God was not pleased with them because they were murmuring. I'm just saying, for us to be careful, we need each other to help each other and worship and praise and give thanks, especially around this, in this age, that we do not be conformed to all the whiners, complainers, and aggressively help each other. We are going to be thankful. In our home, we're going to be thankful. At church, we'll be a thankful people and a grateful. And for this nation, Lord, amen. Help us. Restore us,
yes,
that revival.
Thank you, Lord.
So where there is any, I've allowed any poison which makes me a whiner and a complainer, I'm saying, Lord, I apologize, forgive me. Therefore, it helps me. And I'm just saying, take advantage as often as you can with the blood of Jesus, with the communion elements, and say, Lord, where I've picked up any germs of whining and complaining, the blood of Jesus, I plead the blood, and I renounce and I repent my whining spirit, any kind of murmuring, any kind of unthankfulness. So this is, I'm saying, we are preparing our homes for the glory, even greater glory to come. We are coming.
You,
we are thanking the Lord for greater breakthrough for your finances, greater
you,
miracles for our home, for the church. We are thankful for the economy right now.
Amen.
Woo! Boosting up.
Amen.
For every job.
Amen.
And better jobs for you. And as a thankful people, we can steward the glory and the anointing that does more. Tell your neighbor, you're going to get more.
More. More.
More, Lord. And the one, therefore, I was just going to recommend that one of the key things to consider for maintaining this and start declaring over yourself is Psalm 103.
Mm.
Okay, for the next few days, read it at least out loud in your home 3 to 5 times a day. Psalm 103 will kind of reside in it over the next, till Thanksgiving comes. And it says, Psalm 103, bless the Lord. Raise your hands. Say,
bless the Lord.
Say after me, bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Oh, my soul.
Oh, my soul.
All that is within me.
And all that is within me.
Bless his holy name.
Bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Oh, my soul.
Oh, my soul.
Forget not.
Forget not.
All his benefits.
All his benefits.
Who forgives.
Who forgives.
All my iniquity.
All my iniquity.
Who heals.
Who heals.
All my diseases.
All my diseases.
Who redeems.
Who redeems.
My life.
My life.
From destruction.
From destruction.
Who crowns me.
Who crowns me.
With loving kindness.
With loving kindness.
And tender mercies.
And tender mercies.
Who satisfies.
Who satisfies.
My mouth.
My mouth.
With good things.
With good things.
Good things.
Good things.
Good things.
Good things.
So that my youth.
So that my youth.
Is renewed.
Is renewed.
Like the eagle.
Like the eagles.
Ah!
Ah! Ah! Remember our song? Rise and soar into the sunlight, sunlight rays. Using both your wings of prayer and praise. Mount like eagles higher in the sky. And you'll find things look so different when you fly. Good, Liza.
That was good.
That was awesome. You know the amazing thing about this psalm? The psalm just before is David's complaint. It literally is titled David's Complaint when he was worn out. So after he finished complaining, he must have gotten a revelation or a correction from the Lord.
He grows a little older. Bible scholars say this was when he got a little older. He started thinking and saying this way.
Bless
and
the Lord.
By the way, awesome. Charles Spurgeon called it this psalm as a Bible within the Bible.
Wow.
Because everything
wow.
you need to know about God and his heart and what we need to be doing is in this Psalm 103. And so we are taking as part of our prescription for this hour, daily dose, 3 times a day maybe. But you can up the dose if you want to. to take out any poison in our system from the spirit of this age of murmuring,
Amen, Lord.
Griping, complaining spirit. And part of the key, therefore, is forget not any of his benefits.
Jesus.
We're going to focus on the blessings. Focus thanking him for all the benefits because he forgives our iniquities. Say, I am forgiven.
I am forgiven.
Through the blood of Jesus.
Through the blood of Jesus.
He's the most powerful agent in the universe.
That's right.
Forgives. And then the forgiveness is beyond time and space. It is in a quantum physics place of the forgiveness is when it comes, it's past, present, and future. You enter in to Jesus and you are forgiven. That is not just for the past, but for the future. And today, I am forgiven. Say, I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven.
I remember the glory really many years ago, about 16 years ago when I was in the hospital in London, England, and they said to me, because I had something very wrong happen, and I had a blockage, and they said, you could die in 48 hours. And I turned to the Lord, and suddenly the joy came in me that was so super. I said, no loss. I am in the presence of the Lord, and I got a revival. And if someone had put me in a psychiatrist's couch, they would have said, we diagnosed as crazy. because they just told you you might die in 48 hours. And it's something beyond any. I was in discomfort, but it didn't matter at all. There was a reality of the glory around. And I believe that that's, I want us to enter into that state where you are never afraid of death because I am forgiven and I belong part of the eternal army of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. It's so true about the glory realm, about where our citizenship is. It's not, it is in the future, but it's actually now. We're in it now. And may the Lord continue to give us more frequent, more real glimpses of that reality, of experiencing the reality that we actually are occupying the eternal kingdom realm now. That Hebrews says, you have come to Mount Zion now, to the city of the living God, to God the judge, where all of our case has been adjudicated through the blood of Jesus, and that blood is speaking for better things for us, to the help of angels and to the company and the agreement, the ongoing heritage and legacy of all the righteous ones that have gone before us. So, hallelujah. May the Lord help us to see. The last few days, I've been meditating and pressing in because I need revival. I'm really hungry for a new, fresh depth of revival for myself right now. I'm really, really hungry for fresh visitation in my own life. And one of the phrases that I've been contemplating and the events of various ones in the Bible is a story in the Gospel of John when Jesus is preaching in the Galilee region, and a group of Greeks come and they say, "We would see Jesus." I said, "Lauren, I would see Jesus. I would see Jesus. I want to see you, Lord. I want to see you." And that led me on a little search in Scripture to actually look at the events of people who actually saw the Lord. And it's pretty stunning. Gideon saw him in a time of crisis. And there God revealed himself as he received Gideon's offering and anointed Gideon to literally turn the tide of the nation. Gideon said, "I've seen the Lord face to face and I'm not dead. It's a miracle." Jehovah Shalom.
Yeah.
God is
yeah.
peace. Or Joshua, when he was getting ready to take the promised land, he was all geared up, you know, in the natural as an overcoming conqueror soldier, had the commission of Moses and the promises and all of that kind of stuff. But then suddenly there was a big dude standing up there in front of that stronghold. And I love Joshua's chutzpah because he pulled out his sword and he ran towards this massive guy and said, "Are you for us or against us?" And it was the Lord, pre-incarnate, Son of Glory, Lord of Hosts, God of Armies, and with his sword drawn there to go in front of Joshua. And he said, "Take your shoes off. This is holy ground, this encounter." Or when Ezekiel saw him and he literally fell down on his face. Or John saw him in the resurrection. John, the beloved of Jesus, who knew Jesus well and had seen Jesus in the resurrection. Now he sees him again more clearly, sitting on his throne as light, with all the elements of light, ruling through light, not darkness. And John says, "When I saw him, I fell as one dead." We would see Jesus. Lord, we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus. This church has a unique living DNA that is literally birthed out of sovereign visitation, specifically sovereign visitation that occurred in 1986. And in the coming weeks, I hope to share more specifically with you about it. But the Lord has been refreshing the reality in me of who we are as a community. And literally, we had a sovereign visitation of God in 1986. And our coming to Charlotte, the birth of the Watch, All Nations Church being born out of the Watch, all of it was a literal birthing of a sovereign move of God. So when we come to church, it's not just coming to church. We're coming to see Jesus. We're coming to see Jesus. We want to see you face to face. Lord, we want to see you. How many would like a new visitation, a new encounter? I'll recommend two things. Come to the soaking prior to the service on Sunday morning and just sit or lay in the silent atmosphere as the musicians play to us. Come to the Watch on Friday night. Let's go together into new encounter. And one of the ways that we can enter into the answer to our prayers that we've been praying for 25 years in the watch. Vote on Tuesday. Already we're getting some good news that we've engaged this time and something major is beginning to happen. So if you need any more information about that, Cindy will be at the back. We have tools and all kinds of information for you. But say turnaround. Roll, breaker, roll. We would see Jesus.
Bon, in the context of what you said, we want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus for ourselves. We want to see Jesus corporately.
Yeah.
But so appreciate, and we'll round, conclude with what Katie began with and share something that he is in the now with us. Say in the now.
In the now.
He's I am for you.
Yeah.
Today he's in the now. He's involved in your affairs to bless you, to break the limits off. Friday night, they told me that this family with special needs was coming.
Yeah.
And I said, any needy family is welcome at All Nations and will touch the hem of Jesus' garment on their behalf. If they can't do it, we will in fact join to help. By the way, God has given us so much grace, and we have seen so many miracles for different things, but one of them is for autistic children. They're literally just almost instant miracles. For so many. So when they told me they're bringing a child who's just completely not able to be controlled. They can't do it. They were a wonderful family. But and I said, we'll pray for them one way or the other. So they came a distance. And he was... The behavior, some of the extreme behavior, the banging the head all the time and all out of control. So they even had a helmet for the child, 7 years old, but, you know, oppressed. When I said bring him in, I was able to just sit with, he came and sat by me.
Sat down.
And suddenly the glory descended on him. And he was completely calm. And I was able to anoint with oil and hug him and stay with him for almost 25 minutes or so. And I saw, and I was sensing part of me. I was just flowing because I love those kids. But I knew that the glory had taken that child in his arms.
Yeah.
And it was so wonderful. Yeah. And so we are seeing Jesus in different ways. And it's his love. And I want you to commend this community for being an arm of, extended arm of the love of Jesus to his children who are hurting, broken, that we can, the Spirit of the Lord,
amen,
Jesus,
Lord,
is upon me. He has anointed me to heal the broken heart, to preach good news
Lord
to the poor,
Jesus, glory,
to give eyes to the blind, and set the captives free. So, praise God. Hallelujah. So my recommendation, we're going to stay for the next few days in preparation for Thanksgiving. We're going to take 3 times a day, Psalm 103. And verses 1 through 5, it's personal. God's mercy towards me, towards you. And then verses 6 through 18 is national mercy. God's mercy over Israel. Now I'm going to pray God's mercy for America. And if you're in Germany, God's mercy for Germany. And of course, we always include blessing for Israel too. And then, verses 19 through 22 is for all of creation.
Hallelujah.
That God cares. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah. Are you ready? for setting the atmosphere around you for thanking the Lord so that the glory comes and fills us. Amen? Let's stand.
Thank you, Lord.
And once again, before you are dismissed, we're going to take a dose. Psalm 103. You can't overdose. Say, I can't overdose. Hallelujah. In fact, I want super loads of overdose of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Just stay. That's what the keys of Azusa revival, the letter rain of different revival, the glory came and they couldn't get enough. If you read, look up in Google, Cane Ridge Revival, and people would come and get in the glory of the Cane Ridge Revival. And they would, after a few days, load the people would be slain in the spirit for days. So at that time, they would come in carts. The horses would get ready and they put them in the cart. And they would load the people like logs, stack them on top of each other to take them home because they were still in the glory. I mean, I said, yes, I want an overload. Lord, zap us. And then the miracles just keep flowing. And the abundance. Where the revival is, by the way, economic abundance comes. Okay? Amen. Say abundance. Raise your hands. Say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all His benefits, who forgives all my iniquities, who heals all my diseases, who redeems my life from destruction, who crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. Hallelujah. Michael, can we sing the eagle song? Yeah, give him the Lord a big clap of. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo!
Rise and soar into the sunlight rays. You sing both your wings of prayer and praise. Mount like eagles higher in the sky. And you'll find things look so different when you fly. Rise and soar into the sunlight rays, using both your wings of prayer and praise. Mount like eagles higher in the sky. So different when you fly.
One more time.
Rise and soar into the sunlight rays, using both your wings of prayer and praise. Mount like eagles higher in the sky. So different when you fly.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Look up some of you who are interested doing research, but look up the Battle of Beersheba and the Australian Light Brigade and the charge and see how they just, a few hundred horsemen took bayonets, said nothing else, they didn't, and rode towards the enemy with machine guns and all of that and pulled down the Ottoman Empire. and freed, basically freed Jerusalem just with bayonets.
Amen.
And when I saw those women, and they wear these beautiful caps with emu feathers, and they were called pugdis and by the Indians. They were part of the Indian army was there too to help. But the uniform, when I saw those women in Jerusalem with those uniforms, it looked, I was so impressed. But I said, you know, the women are warriors in the spirit realm, just as fierce as the men. Amen?
Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.